Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to another teaching class for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ. This is in the New Creation series, and we're going to be talking about new creation and new life because we're running up to Easter at the time of recording. And today the topic is new smell. And you may wonder what on earth that's got to do with spiritual matters, but we'll come to that in a moment. Hopefully we'll be able to use this in our local groups, our small groups, our family groups for discussion. I will add a few conversation starters at the end. Sense of smell. Let's talk about the sense of smell for a moment. Our sense of smell is amazing. We can distinguish a lot of different stimuli. Thousands of different odors are available for us to identify. Smell, of course, is closely linked with memory and emotion. I'll never forget the day I walked into a building. I think it was a school building a few years ago. Instantly, I was transported back to when I was at primary school. Many decades ago, because I think it was the same kind of cleaning material had been used, and that just took me back there in a second. Of course, during COVID, a lot of people lost their sense of smell, sadly, some even permanently. For myself, I had COVID, and ever since, now and again, I get phantom smells, like that aren't anything to do with my circumstances. But quite often, it's the smell of dog poo. I've often caught myself since COVID checking the soles of my shoes if I've trodden in something, and no, I haven't. I just had this weird... I can be driving along, I can be in a room talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I can smell dog poo. It's just very strange. I think it's an after effect of COVID. Anyway, what do smells have to do with Easter and being a new creation? Well, firstly, death smells bad. It just smells bad, doesn't it? Think about Martha when Jesus asks for the stone to be taken away from Lazarus's tomb, and she says, "But Lord," in John chapter 11, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Not surprising she's reluctant to open the tomb. 4 days of death? I mean, she knew her brother's body would smell bad. And of course, in those days, spices were often used to reduce that smell, as in Jesus in John 19. Nicodemus brings 75 pounds of spices and wraps them in the wrapping around Jesus's body, in accordance with Jewish burial customs, it tells us in John 19, 39 and 40. And of course, the women, that job hasn't been really finished, so they go to complete the work after the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they bought spices so that they might anoint Jesus's body. So it's a big, big deal, this bringing of spices, which would reduce the bad smell. And death does smell bad. There's no way around it. It smells bad to human noses, but also to human hearts as well, doesn't it? It's the finality of it, the emptiness of it, the uselessness of it. It frustrates us. I mean, what is it for? No one knows except Jesus. If death leads to resurrection life, we see that resurrection life is going to smell good in as much as human death smells so bad. Think about Peter and John reaching the tomb. They noticed something when they got to the tomb in John chapter 20, verses 3 and following. The wrappings are there, but the body is not. They bent over, looked at the strips of linen lying there, but they didn't go in. Simon Peter came along, went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there and the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Soon after this, Mary sees Jesus. She doesn't recognize him straight away, thinking he's the gardener. Then he speaks, and she realizes it's him. But what does she not see? What did the apostles not see? The spices. There's no mention of spices. Not after the resurrection. The angels in the tomb don't mention them. The apostles don't mention them. None of the other witnesses mention the spices. Why are they not mentioning the spices? Why does there appear to be no spices anymore? Because there's no bad smell. There's no bad smell, so you don't need any spices. Can you imagine the women carrying the spices to the tomb, finding the tomb empty? They've got to carry them back home again. Well, I thought you went out shopping for spices to put them around Jesus' body. Well, his body wasn't there. We brought them home again. Can you imagine them being stopped on the way? Why are you carrying those spices? I thought you were going to use them at the... Well, he's not there. We're bringing them back home. They didn't need the spices because there was new life. The bad smell of death was gone in every sense. Physical, literal, metaphorical. See, God makes bad things smell good. you and I, our lives smelled pretty bad before we knew him, but now they smell good. God always smells the good, because writers of scripture often mix literal and metaphorical ideas, themes like light and darkness, water, wilderness, shepherd and flock, the garden. They got physical and spiritual meanings. The same is true of good and bad smells. Take Noah's sacrifice. After exiting the ark in Genesis 8, it says the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground. Our prayers smell like incense to God in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Four living creatures, 24 elders, they fell down. They have a harp holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Smells good to God. Our sacrifices, our prayers create a pleasant aroma for God. But how do we smell to our neighbors, to the people of this world? As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, which is our key text for what we're talking about here today, it reads, "Thanks be to God, who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." What an extraordinary image, there, a picture that Paul is giving of what it means that we are the aroma of God and Christ to this world. You see, disciples of Jesus smell like Jesus. Our lives remind people of the Son of God so much that it's as if we smell like him. We're the aroma of death for those who wish no change. In other words, we don't smell like hope to them because it's not the kind of hope they want. However, to those who want change, who desire to be different, who are looking for meaning, for purpose, for healing, to those people, you and I smell like life. And what kind of life? It's resurrection life, isn't it? Eternal life, new creation life, Christ's life, lived through and in us to this world, creating the aroma of Christ and a sense of hope and joy and healing and salvation and all the good things that come with following Jesus Christ. So you could say a rather unusual definition of a disciple might be someone who smells like Jesus. So what do you think? Is this a reasonable claim? And if so, what does it actually mean? This is what you'll be discussing together in your groups with your friends. What does it mean to smell like Jesus, to be the aroma of Christ in this world? What does it look like? I'm going to give you a few scriptures to look up. I'm not going to talk about them now, but I'll reference them for you and you can look them up and it might help you in your discussion as you reflect and pray about such things. So have a look at the attitude of Christ. What does it mean to have the aroma of Christ? I think it means to have his attitude. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. So that's Philippians 2 and verse 5. All these references will be in the show notes. The attitude of Christ, Philippians 2 verse 5. I also think it means being ready like Christ. Being ready. Luke 12:35. It also means being obedient like Christ. Having his aroma means being obedient like him. John 14, verses 23 and 24. John 14, verse 23 and 24. Also having the aroma of Christ means being merciful like Christ. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Merciful like Christ, Hebrews 2, verse 17. And I think, in a way, having the aroma of Christ means reflecting how amazing Christ is to the world, how amazing he is. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. So the attitude of Christ, being ready like Christ, being obedient like Christ, being merciful like Christ, and showing the world how amazing Christ is. Those five things, they spell, if you've been paying attention, those five things spell aroma. Aroma, the aroma of Christ. So I hope that meditating on those scriptures when discussing them will help you and me to better be the aroma of Christ's resurrection life to this world. So let's pray Let's pray to grow into the likeness of Jesus so that the world can smell him through you and me and find new life. I hope you find these thoughts helpful. Drop me a line with any of your comments, malcolm@malcolmcox.org. And if you've got any thoughts about the next class or other aspects of what it means to live as a new creation, I would love to hear from you. But until the next time, take care and God bless.